Unless otherwise noted, the opinions and anecdotes presented in this work derive solely from the personal experience or research of the hosts and are neither endorsement nor indictment of anything described herein. Listeners who take action or formulate opinions based on the following content do so at their own peril. You have been warned.
Hello, everyone. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to take a quick moment to talk about our new affiliate partner, Death Wish Coffee. If you're like us, you love a good cup of coffee to get you going in the morning. And let me tell you, Death Wish Coffee is not your average Joe. Their coffee is bold, smooth, and full of flavor with an extra kick of caffeine to carry you through the day. And the best part, it's all natural. Deathwish Coffee sources only the highest quality, fair trade, and organic Arabica and Robusta beans to create a stronger, smoother, and more flavorful cup of coffee. And they don't compromise on taste or sustainability, making Deathwish Coffee a better choice for coffee lovers everywhere. So if you're looking for a new, bold, and delicious coffee to try, head over to www.twistedlogicpod.com/death to order your own bag of Deathwish Coffee. And don't forget, shopping through our link supports the show.
It feels more like performing.
Yes. Yes, no, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. And in a way it is, right? Like, you know, we'll get good at kind of like condensing our answer, right? Mm. We'll get good at being concise as we get more practice, stuff like that. But I definitely think yeah, no, it's a little bit more, there's a weirdness because we're not used to it. We're used to just kind of randomly chatting on live shows, right? Like this is a little bit, I don't want to say forced. Forced is not the right word, but it's a little bit more.
Performative.
Yeah, no, that's the right word. Right. Yeah. And it's just because it's the first couple times, you know. Hi, this is Sean St. Peter.
And this is Josh Iyer.
This is the Twisted Logic Podcast.
Your weekly deep dive into a topic currently twisting the political and cultural zeitgeist.
This week we're talking about wokeness. What is it, and is it a good or bad thing? But first, if you're a regular listener of the Twisted Logic Podcast, or you're a new friend, you're probably wondering what this is. Josh and I think we've come up with a revolutionary new show concept that combines the best of traditional podcasting with the interactivity and engagement of social audio. Each week, we'll be diving into a relevant political or cultural issue, providing you with the facts and perspectives you need to understand the topic and join the conversation. Every Monday, you'll hear a podcast just like this, where we will introduce a topic. Throughout the week, we're going to show up on different social audio platforms. Every Tuesday at noon Eastern, I'm going to be on the Stereo app. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., we have our Clubhouse Hangout. Every Thursday, Josh and I will be doing our Spotify Live show. We're moving the live show from Stereo to Spotify Live. But it's going to be our live show where we talk in depth about this topic and hopefully amongst each other, but with you guys too. And then Friday, I'll be on the Wisdom app. And then we're going to take all of that, all of your comments, combine them together into one release, and that'll be the wrap-up show on Saturday. What do you think, Josh? What do you think of our new format?
Okay, what do I think of our new format? I think it's going to solve a lot of problems. One of the big problems we ran into was that our former platform, Stereo, called on its audience to go through a bunch of hoops in order to interact with people. So we've had people who wanted to listen but didn't want to jump through those hoops, and it's really addressing that. We're kind of meeting people where they're at, which, you know, I mean, I think on our show, we've tried to meet people where we're at, don't you think?
Absolutely. That's kind of one of the keys, is that we've been trying to meet where they're at the whole time. And I agree with you. This is kind of like an opportunity to do that. Everyone's into the topic and listen to us talk about it. Those that want to participate can join us on social audio. They get a chance to participate. And the best of those, they're going to be in the podcast with us.
So, you know, we're steering the car, but really y'all are the engine pushing us forward. We're really trying to make this into something that people will engage in. Everybody that listens to talk shows always has a desire to actually talk on them. Mm-hmm. So I think we're really making that easier for people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's one thing that's been constant going back plus years that people like to talk about politics and sports traditionally on the radio, but now we're in the modern age. So we do it in podcasts and social audio, right? You know, going back to some of the earliest IMUS and, you know, the original Rush Limbaugh show where everyone wants to call in and give their points.
Mm-hmm. And I listen to the crap all week. So, yeah. Like, I'm sure you, yeah, I know you listen to a ton of podcasts too.
Yep.
So, you know, I think this is going to work really well for us. And I want to say, Sean, you did just about all of it. So well done. Congratulations. Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a good fit.
I do too. I'm really looking. And we hope you guys do too. I think it's something that hopefully, as with the future, like we'll even more and more, we'll see more and more social audio and more and more interaction, and we'll go from there.
Exactly. And we're still going to have all our text based platforms, of course, Twitter and yep. Facebook, or whatever the kids are using these days.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
So overall, I think this is going to be a great package. And I hope, as I've always hoped, that everybody wants a piece of my package.
That's right. So hopefully this new format is going to lead to a lot of new listeners. And hopefully these new listeners don't really know a ton about us. So I was thinking, why don't we start by kind of...
know about us and weren't listeners.
Say that again.
I said it'd be kind of scary if these people who aren't listeners, you know, yeah. or are becoming new listeners, it would be scary if they already knew a lot about us like that. Yeah. I think it'd be kind of indicting in a sort of Michael Avenatti kind of way.
You never know. Our FBI handlers might start listening to this stuff.
And shout out to all our FBI handlers.
So, but yeah, I think it's maybe helpful to give the listeners a little bit of information about ourselves. So I thought that'd be another good place for us to start this week. And so, I don't know, do you want to start talking about you or talking about me?
Oh, let's start with you.
Okay.
Sean, who is Sean St. Peter? Well, most importantly, Sean St. Peter is my attaché. It's important to note to new listeners, Sean and I have been friends for over 30 years now, and we've been fighting about politics that whole time. Mm-hmm. So most of the reason that we do this is to demonstrate to the world that you can fight about politics without killing one another, and sometimes without trying to kill one another, which is even...
And you can be friends with people on the other side of the aisle.
Yes, exactly. As long as they're on the other side of the country. Sean is located in New Jersey.
Yes.
Sean's located in New Jersey, where we both grew up. He is 45, am I right?
That's correct.
He's 45 going on 60. Yeah. Tall,
45 available. Going on 90, more likely.
Right, no shit, right? But he's available, ladies. He's like that. Sexy, silky, flinty, misguided voice, then by all means, let us know. Sean spent a great deal of his life in sales. The vast majority of his adult life has been spent in sales. We both enjoyed a little bit of education at Rutgers University together for a while,
yep.
After which Sean went into the industrial sales force. He is a moderate liberal, sometimes more moderate than other times. And that's, well, we'll cover that all throughout every show, probably.
Right.
I'll keep the derision to a minimum. what else? What else? What would you say about yourself, Sean, that I've left out?
No, I worked on some political campaigns when I was younger before I became disillusioned with the whole political election process. When I was younger, I was more conservative, more open-minded as I've gotten older.
Now, let me ask you, do you think that you were more conservative then because the world was more conservative then?
Well, no, because I think that there was a part of me that changed after Bill Clinton was in office. So he came in office in 92, right when I was in high school. And I remember in that election, I was actually a Ross Perot supporter. Yeah. And so I've always had kind of like a libertarian bent to me. There's always that, but it's always been a strong, you know, I don't call myself a social justice warrior or anything like that, but I'm very pro social justice. Let's call it that. Sure. Put it down. I think the concept of the New Democrats that was kind of ushered in under Bill Clinton, I think, appealed to me in ways, and that's kind of where my left kind of came from as I grew up and went to college and got educated and learned the errors of my younger ways.
Indeed. When are you going to learn the errors of your older ways?
When I'm dead, probably.
Fair enough.
So that's me in a nutshell. All right. I guess it's now time for you to be the star. So you're currently finishing up an American Studies advanced degree, correct?
That's correct.
And you are trained as and have worked as, I would say currently work as, an anthropologist.
True.
And you live in the state that the internet doesn't believe exists, Wyoming. But you've bounced around. You've had a less than traditional life, I would say. After you left your foray at Rutgers, you went off to culinary school and then other undergraduate work and then graduate work. And again, just worked as a teacher, college professor for a little while. And then had a real twist and ended up in Vegas. Worked at the casinos for a little while before becoming a law enforcement officer out there.
All true.
And it's funny, you and I lost touch for a long time, but we got reconnected while you were in Vegas. And it was right back around 2016, right around the time of Trump's election.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a Trump supporter, and I was decidedly not. But I just remember us being able to have that conversation at a bar at the Bellagio.
That's right.
And as our resident conservative, how do you think you came to that political worldview?
Well, you know, I have a propensity for being right.
Okay. This is the exception that proves the rule. Is that what you're trying to say?
No. No, how did I come to that? My political position has shifted frequently. No, I will say my political alignment has shifted frequently because really my core beliefs upon which my politics are based have remained essentially the same and gotten stronger in that way over the years. But rather the parties have sort of shifted around it. I was raised Republican, which doesn't count for much really, because you'd kind of just follow in as a kid, frequently your political positions are either a product of your parents or a repudiation of them.
Absolutely.
But either way, they're a function of your upbringing, and they're not responding to politics usually. They're responding to your family structure, right. Your structure, that sort of thing. So I was raised Republican, but that's not terribly relevant, I don't think. When I came out of the closet at around age 20, I think, of course I became a Democrat. Of course, it was 1998. It was substantially more repressive than it is now, though we didn't really think it was at the time. And in order to, garner any kind of rights or enfranchisement as a gay man, you you know, if you wanted to be a part of pursuing that, you had to be a Democrat. So I went in that direction. But really, it, at the time, it was the party of self-determination. And that's what appealed to me. Over time, though, over many years, that self-determination has really disappeared from the Democratic Party. And the hegemony that had run the Republican Party for so long, particularly the religious right and those forces, really started to move away from center stage on the right and give self-determination a little bit more of a space to breathe in. So I, right around the Trump election, the first Trump election, I switched over to Republican again and have been ever since. And it was an excellent decision.
Well, so.
Oh, absolutely it was.
We're going to take a quick break, hear from some of our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to get right into this week's discussion.
Hi, everyone. Sean here. I wanted to take a moment to introduce you to one of our affiliate partners, Gentleman's Hardware. They offer a range of stylish and functional products designed for the modern day gent. From handy tools and survival kits to travel accessories and grooming essentials, they have everything you need to elevate your everyday life. And the best part is, by shopping through our exclusive link at www.twistedlogicpod.com/gentlemen, you'll be supporting our show as well. It's a win-win situation. Gentleman's Hardware commitment to quality and design is evident in every product they offer. From the moment you open their packaging, you can tell that a lot of thought and care went into every detail. Whether you're looking for the perfect gift for a friend or just want to treat yourself, Gentleman's Hardware has you covered. Their products make great additions to your own personal collection, and their packaging is so stylish, you'll be proud to give them as gifts. So if you're ready to up your game and add some style and functionality to your everyday life, be sure to check out Gentleman's Hardware. And remember, when you shop through our exclusive link at www.twistedlogicpod.com/gentlemen, that's www.twistedlogicpod.com/gentlemen, you'll be supporting our show as well.
And we're back. So we're going to get into this week's topic and introduce the concept of wokeness. Josh, why don't you take us through what wokeness is?
Well, let's see. Yeah, obviously, it's a term that we hear all the time about, you know, people say they're woke, or, you know, you hear woke capitalism quite a lot, woke celebrity quite a lot, et cetera, et cetera. And it really depends on whether you're saying it or hearing it, I think, that tends to define it. People, we associate woke with social justice and being aware of the sort of power structures that keep certain groups and people subjugated to others. You know, it engages very strongly with a lot of the, you know, and I do want to say trendy political interests, you know, sure. race, national origin, sexuality, gender, et cetera, et cetera. And people use it to signify that they support, you know, pro-minority positions and related, and, you know, other, you know, leftist positions on the environment and things like that versus opposing that kind of stuff or promulgating class distinction and things like that.
Sure.
It's a highly bastardized term, absolutely. And frequently it let's just say it has some roadblocks. Let's say it's used, it's not always sincere, but I'll get into that a little bit later, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. So wokeness has its history. The dictionary definition would define it something along the lines of a heightened awareness and sensitivity to issues of social justice. And yes, it is very much associated with progressive politics and focus on social justice issues. But it does date back to community, and it's a term that comes from African-American vernacular English and really didn't become mainstreamed with that progressive politics until around 2014, when the Black Lives Matter organizations started gaining prominence, and after Missouri and the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, kind of really became a topic du jour. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, and again, I think as you said, it's become bastardized, by both sides. It's come into mean different things what it originally meant. You know, those on the right use it as a pejorative, you know, to mock people. Oh, you're too woke. You're too woke.
I'm sorry. Did you say on the right or who are right?
On the right, I said.
Okay. Well, that's the same thing. Anyway, so. Yes.
I don't know that people on the left use it that much, although I did share with you a meme I saw the other day on Facebook for someone using it as a positive. But I definitely think that it's become more used more as a pejorative these days than it is as a describing a good thing. I think the left isn't using it as much to describe people on the left. It's really been more used and taken up by the those on the left or on the right, excuse me. I also thought it was funny. So, you know, we got the it would be fun. We had the definition, you know, there, but you know, you also got to go to Urban Dictionary. Nothing's really defined until you've taken it. And I went through Urban Dictionary, and some of these are I think worth reading out loud. It's just kind of so this was by Head of Red on June 10th, 2018. They defined wokeness as being constantly offended. Their sentence, their use of a sentence, as a result of Amy's wokeness, nobody wants to be around her anymore. Fata Morgana on May 15th, 2009 defined wokeness as self-righteousness masquerading as enlightenment.
Self-righteousness masquerading as I love that. That's actually very, very accurate.
So Woke Willie, the sentence, Woke Willie, believe women empower women. Don't believe women empower rapists. Skeptical Sammy, your wokeness is showing. here's a good one. The Zoof wrecked July 29th, 2020. Wokeness is a postmodern version of being born again, where an individual is hypervigilant of magic transgressions in human dignity because they're painfully unaware of secretly being deeply ashamed of how life is not fucking them hard enough.
You know, I like that one particularly because it brings in this element of postmodernism.
Yes, yes. Dude, your speech about our duty to manifest our intersectional consciousness to promote equal outcomes was such profound wokeness. I'm totes going to burn my bra right now before heading back to the safe space for some gender neutral polyamory.
I need a drink. God. It really highlights this idea of, you know, exactly what postmodernism is doing to the world right now.
Yeah.
Within wokeness, you find this whole, you know, there's a dominating sense of morality, but a paucity of rules by which to I don't want to say to live, but there aren't rules governing the philosophy. There's very little, you know, structure to it. Like it's just like it's like that new definition of woman. Have you seen this dictionary?
I don't know.
I believe it's Webster's, but they're now defining woman as a person who identifies as female.
Okay.
Within which there you know, of course, what is female? And it goes on and on and on. But there's no, you know, in this idea of self-identification, there's no real structure. Like the way society wants us to receive self-identification is that if somebody says they are a thing, then they are a thing, or right. At least we treat them like they are a thing. So there are no actual borders beyond what we decide they are in that moment. And that, I think, is one of the issues with wokeness, which we'll get into a little bit later, the problems with it. Yeah, let me offer a definition, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Now, this definition comes from a journal called Whiteness and Education, author Benjamin Boyce, who I don't really know much about at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I came across this earlier today, and the article really is about something that he's calling chronic wokeness.
Okay.
But he defines woke as the affect and accompanying behaviors associated with becoming convinced that one has done one's part in making the world a better place.
Read that again.
the affect and accompanying behaviors associated with becoming convinced that one has done one's part in making the world a better place.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's I thought that was a really interesting definition because it's describing a set of behaviors and a sort of social posture that's coming out of this belief in one's intrinsic goodness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that describes wokeness a great deal more than, frankly, a great deal more than wokeness wants to be described.
Right, right. It's interesting. And I think there is some of that, you know, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but I do think there is some of that. Here's another one, and I thought this was funny because the sentence doesn't match the definition at all, okay? So woke, this is just for woke, not technically wokeness, describes a state of being in which you generally question common paradigms. The word denotes that a person has a desire to research his positions on most issues before espousing ideas that are accepted. Intrinsic to the state of being woke is that you fight against systems of indoctrination, such as religion, education system, racism, nutrition, etc. The sentence, using woke in the sentence, I need a girl that is woke so she can help me keep my diet on point.
That is weird.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It was going so well. And then we got to the end and what?
Yeah, nutrition? No, I just said, again, that was, again, here we go. Woke, this is from just last May, May 27th by Sealcake. Umbrella term for individuals who are engrossed by social justice and think of themselves as saviors with the moral high ground, but remain willfully ignorant to the irrationality of their claims and the problems they create. These individuals give special treatment to certain minorities in hope of ending racism and perpetuate mental illness as the norm. The sentence, my son's woke kindergarten...
Did Dom write that?
What's that?
Did Dom write that?
Yeah, right? My son's woke kindergartner teacher taught him that he's actually a girl because he played with dolls.
Go back to the one before, though, and read the second to last sentence.
Second lessons. Intrinsic in the state of being woke is that you fight against systems of indoctrination, such as religion, education okay. system,
racism,
and nutrition. What's that?
The one before that.
Oh, okay. The word denotes that a person has a desire to research his position on most issues before espousing ideas that are accepted.
Bam. Now, do we really think that all these people who would identify as woke are researching?
No.
And no, of no, those... No. Art, do we really think that their research takes them any further than finding something that tells them they're right?
Oh, no, not at all. Here's a good one. Again, I'm telling these because I think they're funny. Like, they're it's so.
Yeah, I know.
Woke. This is from M. Phaser, 23, and it was done on June 14th, 2021. So the old definition, awareness of our issues. New definition, fake awareness of issues that don't exist, mainly used politically, or a left-leaning ideologist with a closed-minded character. So
yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, in all of these, we can hear the polarization.
Yes.
You know, we can hear the dichotomy and bitterness and the sense of exclusion that a lot of people feel as a result of this kind of movement. And with that in mind, I think it's important to take note of the term's use as kind of a statement of affiliation.
Yes.
Because I think that is among its core meanings, that you're affiliated with a very specific, somewhat amorphous, but very specific set of beliefs.
Right.
And right. Within that, you will get very upset at any transgression of those beliefs or a transgression against those beliefs.
All right. I want to read one last one. And then we're going to take another break before we start getting into the good and bad. So here, I just kind of like this one. Math Police, January 26, 2017. And again, I'm looking for humor here, not actual reality. Okay. Getting woke is like being in the Matrix and taking the red pill. You get a sudden understanding of what's really going on and find out you were wrong about so much of what you understood to be truth. the sentence. I understand the extra burden it puts on you, but I still feel everyone needs to get woke.
Oh, God.
You like how I put it in my California Surfer voice, too? Like, I just really laid it on thick?
It totally made me want to watch the most recent season of Stranger Things.
Okay. I've never watched that show.
Oh, my God. You have to. 80s kid, you have to.
Yeah.
Wait, I think...
I'm sorry. I have one more. You'll love this one. The ability of someone to become outraged at imagined enemies and create ways to be the victim, even though you're insanely privileged. Created by right-wing loons, insurrectionist sympathizers, conspiracy folk, and their ilk to create a boogeyman. Sentence. Icky Vicky, the school board lady, invented an enemy in wokeness, but all she did was prove she and her minions are bigoted morons.
Jesus God.
Yeah.
Okay, invented by right-wing whatevers and insurrectionists? What?
Yes.
No!
Yes. Like, clearly, Beatrice BBB does not know what she's talking about. Again, it's clearly, that's the beauty and the fun of, in my opinion, of looking at the Urban Dictionary definitions. Because it's just like, some of the stuff is just batshit crazy. It's like, it's like Wikipedia without people monitoring it, right? It's just like,
seriously. I mean, you know, even a moment's research would have, you know, dismissed that as an origin. Like, the origin is very simple. Like you said, it comes out of, you know, African-American enclaves and talking about being aware of the relative positions of racism in society. It's very simple in terms of origin. So it certainly was not in any way created by right-wing people or anything else. In fact, what brought it to the fore, of course, was the Black Lives Matter movement when, you know, stay woke started to be popular phrase again. And I think at that point they were pulling it out of Erykah Badu.
Well, maybe. Very well might have. That I didn't see that, but that's very possible.
Well, I think what we can really pull out of all these definitions together, you know, if we're looking for kind of a sort of unified working definition.
Sure.
They're all of these offer us a variety of snippets of what actually falls under wokeness, I think.
Right.
So I think we can certainly stipulate that an awareness, or at least a claimed awareness, mm-hmm. of power difference,
mm-hmm.
is a component of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a huge performative component to it as well. A lot of these definitions are noting how people who identify as woke behave, and, you know, be in that they're vociferous and they're confrontational and, you know, so on and so forth. So there's this performative element as well.
Right.
There's also this idea of and it's unfortunately not practiced, so let me amend it. There is this perception of oneself as having a greater understanding or more expansive information or data on what, mm-hmm. you're talking about. Whether or not, mm-hmm. that's true is another matter.
Right.
But there, one who identifies as woke would believe themselves to have a greater body of knowledge than you do. Like, you as in whoever they're talking to.
Right, as in the non-woke, right.
Which tells us that there's a pretty strong element of hubris in it as well.
Correct. So is, in your opinion, is there a difference between wokeness and someone being woke?
Is there a difference between person and people?
Well, yes.
Exactly. Okay. And you know, I think situation has a lot to do with it, certainly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but wokeness as an institution, is there a difference between wokeness or a person who's woke? Is that what you said?
Essentially, yeah. I guess what I'm getting at, is it possible for wokeness as a concept to be okay, but the people who practice and call themselves woke being a problem?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That is a very, very important distinction. Like most philosophies, the people that embrace them tend not to practice them.
Right.
So this idea of wokeness, and, you know, defining it benignly as an awareness of power differential and a and intention and effort to mitigate that differential. You know, defining it benignly in that way and then seeing how it's actually performed in this sort of confrontational and really deeply uninformed manner describes a very, very clear difference between the two. Right? Wokeness as an identity, as an affiliation, as a performance is a far cry from the idea of wokeness, even harkening back to its origins 100 years ago, knowing and understanding these systems and finding ways to work against them.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into it a little bit on whether we think wokeness is good or wokeness is bad, or neither, or both, or somewhere in between.
Hey, everyone, Sean here. I have a great new affiliate partner to share with you all today. I'd like to introduce you to the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. They offer a unique collection of gifts, toys, and games that are perfect for the curious and creative mind. From books and puzzles to office decor and toys, the Unemployed Philosophers Guild has something for everyone. And as a bonus, when you shop through my link at www.twistedlogicpod.com/guild, you'll not only be supporting the podcast, but you'll also be getting the best deals and discounts on all of their products. One of my personal favorites from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild is the Thinker's Dice. It's a fun and interactive way to test your critical thinking skills. And for all you book lovers out there, I highly recommend checking out the Philosophy for Dummies book. So, whether you're looking for a unique gift for a loved one or just something fun to pass the time, head over to www.twistedlogicpod.com/guild. That's www.twistedlogicpod.com/GUILD and see what the Unemployed Philosopher Guild has to offer. And, as always, your support through shopping via our link has helped keep Twisted Logic going strong. Thank you.
And we're back. We're going to start with whether or not wokeness is good. And I'm going to take the position that wokeness is good. And it is something, it is a positive force in the world. Now, speculation and kind of at my last question right before the break, we'll like to point out that I think that wokeness in and of itself, the concept, the idea, is a good thing. But people who have gone overboard with it and trying to over the top, using it as a badge of honor for say, that is a problem that I think is separate from wokeness. And it's, you know, because I do believe that the issues, social justice issues, are not just individual problems, but are deeply rooted structural systems of power. And I do support your least favorite word, intersectionality.
We need a soundboard so I can, you know, push a bell or something.
Right. And so I definitely think that it's a positive force for change in society.
What kind of change do you see having the potential of coming out of wokeness?
Again, if we're being aware, if wokeness at its face and way I interpret it, is that again, it's a view of the world that there are structural systemic problems in the United States with regards to things like criminal justice. And just kind of like the general understanding that there are structural issues that create. So being aware of that is really important. Being aware of these structural issues, I think, is the only way that we can fix them. So from that perspective, wokeness as a general concept contributes positively to society. It contributes in a way where people are trying to take an active role at making it a better place.
So let me see if I can parse this out. So what you're saying is if it functions as kind of an epistemology, as kind of a way of knowing, a way of being aware, then it has the potential to affect change. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Right? That's right. If people are practicing the concept of wokeness, whether they're calling it wokeness or something else or whatever, but if they're practicing, if they have a heightened awareness and sensitivity to issues of social justice, then the likelihood and the chance of positive change coming from is greater. Now, there's also potential for negative from these people too, but that's, you know, it's a double-edged sword, and we'll get into the negative part of it. But I do think that there is a positive, there's a opportunity for positive forward progress that comes from the concept of wokeness.
Why?
Well, my personal belief is that there are issues.
No, not your personal belief on on, you know, why those issues should be, you know, addressed or anything. Like, why do you think that wokeness is a way to do it? What is it about wokeness that suggests that it can precipitate change?
If you are aware of it and you take action, then you're going to, you know, part of the definition of wokeness is about taking action and recognizing that these issues are not just something to be talked about, but something that needs to be actively fought against.
Right.
And so that's that action with the wokeness mindset that will precipitate change.
Yeah.
And being aware of the problems makes it more likely that change is going to happen. In and of itself, wokeness is not going to, on its own, solve anything. And that's why I think, like, being woke is like, I have very rarely ever been confused with someone who's woke. It happens from time to time, but it's very rare that I personally am used with someone as being woke. I don't speak in the terms and the language of wokeness very often. But I do think I also have a heightened awareness and sensitivity to issues of social justice. And I, you know, and so for me, like, the concept behind wokeness, you know, what it's morphed into is more problematic. But being aware of it and being willing to do something about it is important.
Now, talk more, if you don't mind, talk more about the differences between you in your awareness of these systems and someone who would be, you know, to build upon what you're saying, who would be identified by others as woke. What is it, you know, if you're both aware of these problems and yet you're not woke and someone else who is also aware is woke, what is the difference there?
I think that someone who is woke is more likely to be, again, they use a specific language. They talk about things in a way that defines people based on their action. And I don't do that. I'm not going to say someone needs to be. I'm not going to say someone, you know, needs to get woke. I'm not going to tell someone, you know, to consider their level of wokeness or anything like that. I'm not, you know, I'm not overly concerned with the idea of woke itself, but the underlying principle, basic, you know, the baseline principle that wokeness is built upon, I do believe. And so I'm more likely to try to have a conversation with somebody about things, social justice issues, that doesn't rely on the ivory towerness of someone who's woke, the feeling better than. People who are woke tend to talk down to people they think are not woke. I try not to do that.
Okay.
I try not to take someone's opinion and use it as a judgment against them, whereas woke people do.
Mm.
I try to listen and engage people where they're at, as opposed to trying to force them to have the discussion on my terms.
Okay, so we can pull some elements out of that, I think. Because what I hear you saying essentially is that there is this awareness, you know, wokeness has an element of awareness of power,
mm-hmm.
and it has an element of acting on that awareness, right?
Correct.
But now here we're starting to see these other elements, judgment, for instance, sanctimony. And that's what's different. Those things, and I'm assuming there are others, are what's differentiating, say, a social justice supporter like yourself
mm-hmm.
from a person who would identify or be identified as woke. Is that right?
That's correct. I think that's fair. And I think, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I remember one of our discussions at one point where you even said to me, you've never sounded more woke before to me in your life. So it's not rare that I sound woke, right? Like in certain circumstances to people that are much further right of me, of course, I'm going to be considered woke. To people far left of me, I'm considered an evil conservative. So it's, you know, I'm stuck somewhere in this limbo. But I also think, and I guess, I don't know if this is more for this segment or when we get into the bad stuff, but I do believe that it's been transformed. The term wokeness has been transformed into a boogeyman. And I think that there is less, it has less of its underlying anymore. So, you know, I am also willing to concede that it doesn't mean totally what it used to mean, just like a lot of terms, right? And so that's why I'm very careful to acknowledge the core concept of and not what it's become.
Okay, so it seems to me then that this core concept of wokeness is, it's not limited to wokeness, right?
In what way? I'm not sure I follow what you mean.
Being aware of power structures and acting against them isn't limited to wokeness, right?
Correct. Correct. That's correct.
So the things that define wokeness then, because that's not a defining...
Wait, I'm going to back up for a second. It defines someone as being woke, but it doesn't... You can be those things and not be woke. But those are always going to be the core definition of wokeness.
Then essentially, if that's what wokeness is, right? Mm-hmm. Then you could dispense with all those other adjectives, all those other descriptors, like the descriptions of the judgment, the sanctimony, et cetera, the confrontational.
Sure.
Nature,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You could dispense with that and someone could still be woke?
Yes.
Okay.
Theoretically, yes. Theoretically, yes.
Then are you woke?
No.
Why not?
Well, I think a couple reasons. Because I'm not... So again, remember, I am separating the terms woke and wokeness. So I may be someone who follows the idea of wokeness, but I'm not woke. Woke has, you can't be woke anymore without having all those other things, sanctimonious, high and preachy, you know, confrontational, divisive. You can't be woke without being all those things, but the idea of wokeness can be separated from the idea of being woke.
Okay, so these are two totally different concepts.
In my mind, yes.
Okay. So which one do you want to talk about?
Well, no. I think that's a fine question, but I think my answer to that question is yes.
Here's the postmodernism.
I mean, because I think it's important. All right. I said this to you the other day in a text, and you think it obviated our entire discussion.
Yes.
And I said it didn't. And I went on to say why, and you didn't respond, which means I think we're okay. But basically, the ultimate problem with wokeness is it's been given a name. The sentiment behind wokeness is fine, but the second you put a name on it, you segregating people. You are creating artificial division amongst people, creating its own construct with which divide people. And it instantly disqualifies you from the ideal of wokeness. And it makes the calls to wokeness performative because it's not trying to eliminate division, but just change the dividing line, right? So being woke is trying to change the dividing line. But the idea of wokeness, and I think it's important to distinguish between the two. And that's why I say my answer is yes, because if we distinguish between the two, we then get to call out the correct problems. If the problems aren't with wokeness, but with the way people are being woke, that's a different problem to solve than saying that wokeness is bad.
Excellent. Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the reason that I, well, frankly, I didn't read your response to comment because I think I fell asleep or something.
Oh, fair enough.
And I just brought it up now. And I was like, oh, there was something there. but no, I think in that you're right. And it's not uncommon in any philosophy. I mean, you could as easily say, you know, Lord, save me from your followers. Christianity isn't the problem. Christians are, right. You know, in certain contexts.
Right.
You know?
That's right. No, that's right. That's absolutely right. My problem, no, I don't necessarily believe that God exists, but my problem's not with God, it's with the humans that implemented his worship.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And in the same way, my problem isn't with wokeness. I think wokeness in and of itself, again, I do believe it could be a positive force on society, but people being woke tends to, when you name things, when you classify things, all you're doing is to be creating a set of division. And calling people woke and not woke, you're dividing people on that. And some people are okay with that. Some people want to cut out anyone that doesn't agree. And that's on both sides. But there are woke people who are like, fuck everybody else. Fuck all the right-wing people. We can't meet them anywhere. We can't meet them halfway. We can't talk to them on their level. They're just dumb assholes who don't know anything. And we need to defeat them. And that's a problematic. But
yes.
The idea of being aware of social justice issues, and I don't believe that that is problematic.
That's fair. That's fair. You make the delineation, which is important. I think there could be delineation as well between the between wokeness and the phenomenon of wokeness, or the movement of wokeness.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And yet, the interesting thing, I think, is that in general, we don't assign that word woke to people who practice simply that core identity of wokeness, you know, knowledge and action. We don't assign that word out in that way.
Not anymore. Well, again, who's assigning the word wokeness anymore these days anyway, right? I mean, I think most of the assigning of the term wokeness or woke is probably coming from the opposite side in derision, right? It's not being used positively most of the time. It's probably more so being used pejoratively.
I don't know if I agree. I think in certain segments it is being used positively and being used in I don't want to say its original meaning,
right?
But it is being used in a reflexive, self-identifying way.
Sure. Okay. No, that's fair.
What I find interesting is that it's essentially the equivalent of the way the beatniks used hip.
Hip, okay.
If you remember that, you know, you'd hear the phrase "hip to the man."
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You see through the tricks of power. You know, right. You know what to do. You know, are you hip? Are you clued in? Are you tuned in, turned on, and dropped out? Which is a more hippie thing, but the two are very, very complementary. Right. Just not quite temporally aligned. So ultimately, wokeness is not a new concept, and this divide, I think, between it, you know, theory and practice is not a new thing either. It's just, it's a new skin.
Sure. I think, no, that's fair, but I would say that it really, because of today's media landscape, I don't know if that's the right word, but social media, And even traditional media, the differentiation has become exasperated. And people are looking at that difference and not and seeing it as a difference without distinction. Whereas I think it's really worth distinguishing. I think the concept of woke, again, more pejoratively, has been beyond the hip to the man, the beatnik community, and then the hippie community and all their little terms. They were much more closed. They were much more insular, I think is probably the word I'm looking for, within their own communities. Whereas in the modern time, those ideas are much more, they escape the right, and they become much more mean. And as people are always lashing on to what the latest social influencer is doing, right? Things like wokeness can become very performative and become bigger than they really were meant to, because people are looking for something to latch on to get that badge of honor.
Do you think then we could that difference between the beatniks and the wokesters, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I would guess you agree that you could probably lay that at the feet of the internet and mass comm and such.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I said. Like the idea of social media and, you know, the current mass media that we have, I think it exasperates everything like that. And so it's much more.
I like that concept of escaping that you said. It escapes the enclave, so to speak, in that it's problematic. You know, that escaping is problematic. You know, when you, if your house is on fire, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you move all your belongings out of it as you flee? Or do you grab a few things that you can carry and that you don't want to lose and flee escape fire, right? You grab a few things and you run out. This concept of wokeness escaping from its inner circle, in a sense, suggests that as it got out into the larger world, it would necessarily have lost a lot of its meanings. It didn't bring all its pieces with it as it was dispersed out through the masses.
I absolutely understand what you're saying. And yes, I would agree that there is definitely some of that happening, right? There is definitely some of that being a part of what's going on. So anytime you name something, right? Anytime you give something a name, you're automatically calling attention to it and saying, right? Like, and saying, look at me, look at me. Or look at that person, look at that, right? And it becomes less about what it means and more about the person that you're applying the label to. So, yes, and that's why I distinguish between the two, because woke, being woke, has lost a lot of what that original meaning is, and it has become performative. It has become, again, wokeness itself, I think, the core backing concept, but is fine, but the idea of being woke has definitely morphed into something beyond its original meaning, lost a lot of its original.
Mm. What would you say was lost, do you think?
The idea of being woke, the idea of caring for your community and caring for the future of your community and worrying about things like criminal justice reform, that certain people in certain communities are treated, and those things are very positive. And when it's just about that with no name, when it's just about doing the right thing, who cares if I'm called wokeness or not, that pureness is always going to be a good. The second you put that name and you start to saying, I did all these things that makes me woke, you've immediately cut out one of the core principles of wokeness. The idea behind wokeness is that it's being a positive force for social change so that we can eliminate division, we can eliminate issues that come from division, from people, from the power dynamics, right? The second you start using it as a term to describe yourself, you're no longer doing it. You're no longer trying to fix those things. You may partially be trying to do that. You know, I don't want to take it totally away, but it's performative. And at the end of the day, you want people to recognize you because of your wokeness, of being woke, right? You want people to say, yeah, that person's cool. They're woke. Like, they know what's going on. If you are calling yourself woke or describing someone else in a positive light as woke, you want to point out that you or that other person are good, and you want to use it as shorthand. It becomes a shortcut, right? The word woke, once you name it, it becomes a shortcut. You just can say, like I keep saying, right, heightened awareness and sensitivity to issues of social justice, because that's what it is. We can call it wokeness. That's what wokeness refers to, right? But that's what it is. We've given that a name to shorten it, but it's heightened awareness and sensitivity of social issues, which is a good thing. It's always been a good thing, and it'll always be a good thing. Calling yourself woke is no longer having that. It's about promoting yourself and it's no longer worried. You're no longer worried about. You're not doing it as a way to have a heightened awareness or issues. You're doing it as a way to promote yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So using that name, it becomes a shorthand. You don't have to sit. You don't have to have the original meaning anymore. You just have this new word, wokeness, and then you use it, and then it gets used to either build people up or tear people down. Why don't we take a quick break here, and we'll get back, and why don't we get into some a little bit more into where some of the bad stuff, because we're kind of eking into that territory anymore, so why don't we do it in a little bit more structured way. You can give us some of your thoughts on why it's bad, and we can go.
Okay, sounds good. We're back. Like Voldemort, we're back. And like Voldemort, I'm going to talk about bad things, and that's woke. Yeah, I like that. Don't you? Mm-hmm. No, you know, you took us in a good direction, Sean, in differentiating between those two things. And, you know, I would highlight that difference is one of behavior, or like the definition I gave earlier, it's one of affect, mm-hmm. you know? And the problem with wokeness, in my estimation, I mean, there's a number of problems, but I'm going to start with the problem of the moniker. So I think, you know, going off of what we were talking about now, I think the first place that I want to look at these problems is precisely that moniker. And let's look at that from a point of, well, first, let's look at that from a point of self-satisfaction, I think I want to say that. In that, you know how I hate the term raising awareness.
Okay.
Right?
I don't think I knew that, but okay.
Oh, I could swear that we've talked about that. Regardless.
We might have, it just didn't, maybe didn't register.
The reason that I hate this idea of raising awareness is that it allows someone to gain the feeling of accomplishment, of making change, while not actually having to do any of those things.
Okay. Okay.
So I think
the
first problem I want to talk about regarding how wokeness is, or how wokeness is problematic, is that one can identify themselves as woke without ever doing anything that addresses those core, you know, values. You can identify yourself as woke simply by opposing things in your head without ever acting on those oppositions. Does that make sense?
So if I'm understanding you correctly, what you're saying is that you don't get to define your own wokeness, that your actions or your thoughts, and even if it's lack of actions, your thoughts define your wokeness for you?
Oh, you know, we you and I have just defined wokeness pretty effectively, you know, almost scientifically, in the yep. that whole bunch of definitions and pulled out commonalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two main commonalities, of course, being knowledge, you know, being mm-hmm. aware of these issues of power, mm-hmm. and action, taking action to dissolve these power differences, right?
Okay. Yep. Absolutely.
That as well, something that you said at the end of the last segment, I would add to that as well, caring for your community and worrying for the future of your community.
Okay, sure.
Because those are, I would say those are very much components, and they're something that drive action, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's right.
Gibbering masses that call themselves woke generally are able to call themselves that
mm-hmm.
without acting on it. They can be woke without engaging those core principles in the slightest.
Right.
You can have people think you're woke when you're not engaging those core principles in the slightest. Like, that girl is so woke, all she talks about is reparations or whatever it is, you know?
Okay, right.
Talk is cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why this show is free.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I do. And I do think that there's something to be said for that. There's this idea. I'm okay, generally speaking, with self-identification, with you being able to identify with your truth. I am You know, if that makes me a little woke, so be it.
No, it makes you nuts is what it makes you.
But I believe that it is a natural part of humans have been doing for a long time. So I do think it's possible for someone to self-identify as woke, but not necessarily be following wokeness. And I would say that those people are a different kind and not a good kind. But they are, I'm okay for people living their own truth and defining what they are, as long as it has some basis in reality. So if I call myself woke and I'm having awareness and bringing awareness, but also acting and doing whatever I can in terms of actions, then yeah, sure, maybe I'm wokeness. But if I'm not, I'm just calling myself woke and talking a lot, then I'm falsely calling myself woke. In my opinion, that is not very much different from someone calling themselves a lawyer and not being or being a lawyer. I can call myself a lawyer, right? But I don't, the New Jersey bar doesn't recognize me as a lawyer. I never went to law school or graduated law school, right? So I can say I'm a lawyer. And yeah, maybe there's some fraud involved with that. I'd have to, you know, worry about legal consequences. But generally speaking, I could call myself a podcast host or co-host. I have a podcast that I co-host with you.
Yes.
But am I really a podcaster? Is that really what I am? Does that really define me in any meaningful way? So, you know, is there a difference between me as a podcaster and Joe Rogan as a podcaster? Well, yeah, there's a lot of them. So is it fair for me to self-identify as a podcaster if I believe I am, if that's what I want to be? No, I don't think so. But different people are going to view that differently. And so if I write a letter to a podcast company trying to get them to support, or to a company trying to get them to support our podcast, I am a podcaster, and they say, well, how many podcasts have you put out, and how many podcasts, what's your audience, what's your listenership, blah, 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 all these things that might metrically define everything that they use to judge a podcaster by, I might not meet their definition of podcaster.
Whoa.
So I think someone calling themselves woke when not being woke is problematic. But like, that's the world's job to parse that out and understand that it's, you know, problematic. And we've seen instances of this, you know, throughout history and such. Like, I'm trying to think of the girl's name, the woman's name out in Washington State, who was like the head of the local NAACP chapter, identified as black, had like darkened her skin, but she grew up white.
I remember that.
Years back, right? Like, so she went for a long time identifying as a black. And it wasn't until people realized that that definition didn't match who she was that people called her off for it. But for a while, she lived that, and people just acknowledged that that's what she was.
Elizabeth Warren.
Rachel Dolezal. That was her name. Rachel Dolezal.
That's right. Yes. Well done. I would not have been able dig. I said well done, and I would not have been able to dig that out. I wouldn't have remembered. But Elizabeth Warren works as well.
Right.
Yes, it does.
Right.
Yes.
No, you're right. I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right.
What was it called? Powwow Eats or Chiefs Eats or something like that?
She claimed Indian heritage because she believed through her history and what everything her family had told her that she had Indian, Native American, Indigenous, United States, whatever you want to call them, heritage. Turns out that she did not, that she was wrong, and that was a mistaken information, and she should have done more research into that before she started using that. No, you're absolutely right. No, you're she is a good example. She identified as Indian when the facts of the matter turned.
Yes. You don't find that to be a problem?
What do you mean?
All right, let me rephrase. So let's, you know what, let's backtrack a little bit to this idea of podcaster, right?
Okay. Sure.
How would you define a podcaster?
I think I would define a podcaster the same in any profession, someone that makes a living doing that.
Interesting, but I would disagree.
That's fair.
I mean, obviously the easiest way to address it would be someone who casts pods.
Right, that's right, that's right.
In which case, neither of us are podcasters.
Correct.
But that suffix, ER, mm-hmm. is used to indicate something that you do, right? At its most basic,
yes.
that
yes.
ER, or sometimes YER, as in the case mm-hmm. of a lawyer or a bowyer, indicates something that you do. So by virtue of doing a thing, you are a thing.
Okay, so then there's a distinction then, and I guess what you're saying, there's a distinction between a podcaster and a professional podcaster. I am a podcaster, I'm not a professional podcaster.
Yes, absolutely, which is why we have qualifiers like professional or successful or mm-hmm. skillful or effective or communicate or convincing or, yeah.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
I do.
You know, when we talk about these core, these, you know, defining things about being woke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or about wokeness, rather, because mm-hmm. I want to reiterate or rather I want to subscribe to your distinction. Mm-hmm. When we talk about these core things of wokeness, we're creating a template for the qualifications for considering oneself, and this is going to sound cumbersome, an adherent of wokeness.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it makes wokeness a thing you do. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Because you're not just, when we talked about being aware of these systems of power, right? We didn't just right. talk about being aware of them. We necessarily linked that to becoming aware of them and learning and researching. We even talked about research a little bit, right?
Right.
Same thing with, and then the next step, of course, was taking action, which clearly is something that you do. Caring for your community is a thing you do. Worrying right. for the future sure. is a thing you do. So if you're not doing any of these things, and these are the core of the concept, there's only two things that can mean.
Mm-hmm.
It means either you are not an adherent of that concept, or that right. concept no longer means what it used to mean.
Okay, I agree with you.
So I would say wokeness in how it has incarnated this time around, so mm-hmm. to speak, mm-hmm. has been so thoroughly polluted that it no longer actually does these things. Granted, some of them might even go through the processes of some of these things,
mm-hmm.
but there is very little attention paid to what the realistic consequences are going to be. Even the people who go out and protest under a banner of wokeness mm-hmm. are only thinking those consequences through so far.
Say more.
More. Say goodnight, Gracie. Yeah. Mm. So, okay. So what would, you know, I would say, you know, as we talked about earlier, the resurgence or the reemergence of this idea of staying woke started up very much with the BLM. And with yes. the Ferguson killing, and that's really where it gained momentum. In fact, I think that if I remember correctly, I saw an interview with one of the founders of BLM, which actually I learned recently is actually named the Movement for Black Lives, which I found really interesting.
Yes, 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 yes.
Never knew that before. But one of the founders of BLM in the original tweet that effectively created the organization included the hashtag stay woke, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it
yes.
It really did come or it was reincarnated out of this, you know, whole BLM movement.
Correct.
Now, the biggest consequence of that BLM movement, what its biggest product, its most impactful, most prolific product is very simply conflict. It has not moved the ball forward in terms of creating positive change. If
that's
anything,
interesting. We'd have to explore that, I think, more, but that's an interesting take.
Well, thank you. It I would even say it has moved the ball backward in that it has generated all this bitterness that we see on, for instance, Urban Dictionary. All this derision, the way it is practiced increasingly makes it harder for the people who practice it to be taken seriously. So affecting positive change is further than ever as a result of wokeness as it is practiced today.
There has definitely been, a backlash to it. And the backlash has been strong. And the backlash has come from the aggressiveness with which people who want to be woke are aggressive in that mentality. But my argument would be, just like I think that wokeness and woke is different, someone being aggressively woke ultimately undermines the meaning of wokeness. And so I am disconnecting those two from each other. So someone in the Black Lives Matter using stay woke, but clearly creating more division than solving problems, wouldn't be woke to me. Now, maybe they are in the new modern language, and I can concede to that, but in my understanding of it, they wouldn't, because they're not practicing wokeness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So,
common parlance, though, do you think most people would not consider someone like that woke?
Well, okay. My answer to that question is going to be a little convoluted. I'll admit this up front. I think there is probably, if not a majority, a plurality of people made up of people from both extremes that do think of it that way, the new modern way of woke. But everyday people don't think that much about it. And I don't necessarily think that common parlance usage of wokeness is going to be that, using it in that frame, that same frame as the woke person versus the wokeness. If we were to do a survey of 100 random people, I think that we would find that the majority of them wouldn't understand the new modern term any more than they understood the old term.
The criterion for understanding being?
Using the term the way that we're describing it.
Now, bear in mind that I didn't ask about, I didn't ask if somebody would understand the difference between woke and wokeness, so to speak. What I asked was if somebody saw, and we all know the image of the, highly combative left-wing protester.
Sure.
If average Joe saw that, would that person consider be, and you asked them what that person was, do you think that woke might fall in there somewhere?
I would say my personal opinion is that it'd maybe be like 50-50. I think it'd be a 50-50 chance.
I work with idiots.
Okay.
And those idiots all know that word. Derisively.
Yep.
Now, a movement, a word and a movement, what the ad populum fallacy is, right?
I actually don't remember that one.
Okay. The ad populum fallacy is an argument whose support rests on a large number of people having a similar opinion, right?
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm.
It is not always a fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a logical fallacy, certainly. But things like movements, things like philosophies to a certain extent, language, absolutely, they are driven by this ad populum force. So if the majority of adherents to wokeness are more practicing these attributes of sanctimony and judgment and belligerence and intransigence and polarity and, all these things with which we identify wokeness, number one, and with which we differentiate wokeness from other forms of social justice advocacy, so we're differentiating between those things, but we have this moniker wokeness that qualifies someone as you know, being woke, as being specifically that kind of person that looks and acts that way and identifies that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't that imply then that both the word and the movement have come to mean something else?
I want to try an analogy to make sure I understand what you're saying. Socialism. I believe that the basic principle that drives socialism, equality for economic equality for everyone, is a good and worthy. But socialism will always fail because the way that you bring socialism to the population means that there's going to be somewhere around 50% of the population that has to be forced into it. And the second that you're forcing people into something, it no longer becomes about equality, it becomes authoritarian. And in my opinion and research, every country that has attempted some form of socialism or Marxism, communism, whatever brand of that you want, and I know there's differences between, but whatever brand of that you want, have always turned to authoritarian. There's never been a successful government at country level for any kind of socialist or communist or Marxist. And therefore, I think socialism is inherently bad because even though the principle behind it is good, the practice of it will always, always, always be bad. It'll never be able to live up to its principle. And I get, and if I'm understanding this correctly, you are feeling the same way about wokeness. That maybe wokeness, the original concept, isn't necessarily a bad thing, but that's lost now because the idea of implementing wokeness leads to all these other things like, you know, preaching and high and mighty and division and what have you, that the original concept of wokeness is always doomed to fail because of that.
No.
Okay.
I don't like the analogy to socialism simply because
I'm not comparing socialism and wokeness. I'm just comparing my view of socialism with your view of wokeness.
Right. I understand that. And it doesn't work for one very specific reason. The core of socialism is fatally flawed. The core beliefs of socialism are fatally flawed. You know, it's not just the way it's practiced. It sounds good, but it can't happen. It's not within human nature for it to happen, right? Whereas what we've identified as this core of wokeness, being knowledgeable about systems of power and acting on that knowledge to dissolve those systems or to change those systems and so forth, those are practicable and those are effective. So I don't think ultimately that it's a fair analogy.
Okay, that's fair. But what I would like to say is that I think those idiots that you work with, that's the word you used, right?
Yes.
That all know the word woke. If I said to them that someone is trying to understand the systems of power around African Americans and trying to make sure that African Americans are treated equally to non-African Americans, most of those people would identify that probably as wokeness, but think it's a bad thing. They would think that identifying those structures of power when it comes to things like race and gender and sexual orientation are woke and bad. They do not agree with the underlying principle of wokeness.
Are you referring when you say they, you're referring to the idiots I work with, right?
Correct. Yes.
Completely inaccurate.
Okay.
Some of them are black. Some of them are gay. You know, those things are all in there. They all believe in this basic idea of equality. You know,
right. But it's not the idea of equality, but being aware of social justice and the power structures that exist.
From my own experience, they're aware of the power structures that exist. They're not complex. you know, getting into the minutiae of them is complex, and disentangling them is complex, and certainly defeating them is complex. But the basic ideas are not complex in any way. So again, I would disagree.
Would they agree that white privilege is a thing?
By their understanding of it, no.
Okay.
At least for most of them. So yeah, like I said, the socialism analogy has that flaw within it because of these central tenets, right? Or because these central tenets of wokeness actually can work and have worked. Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Mandela, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of those worked without being woke.
Okay.
So, you know, part of the process of defining a thing is figuring out how it's different from similar things. Mm-hmm. And the only way that wokeness is different from other forms of social justice advocacy is essentially their rush to judgment, their sanctimony, their belligerence, and more frequently we're seeing even discursively their support for political violence as a viable tool.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that make wokeness wokeness, as opposed to being a different form of social justice advocacy.
See, I understand the point you're making. And I think I disagree. I think that is defining people by their most extreme. And I think, yeah, I don't disagree with you that is a component of performative wokeness at the extreme left of the party. But I would argue that the majority of people aren't like that. The majority of people who might be practicing some form of wokeness are not the woke.
Talking about the majority of people here, we're talking about wokeness.
Well, we're talking about wokeness versus woke, being woke, right? So the people, the extremes are the people that are woke, that are embodying what you were describing. But the majority of people are not embodying those. So they might be following wokeness, but not being woke.
And the majority of people also aren't calling themselves woke.
Correct.
Right. So if the majority of people don't embody those things and the majority of people don't call themselves woke, then the majority of people aren't woke. And we are talking about the extreme. So it's absolutely appropriate for me to be talking about the extreme. And it's irrelevant that the majority of people don't subscribe to that, because we're talking about the extreme by definition.
Right. So I understand what you're saying, and that's fair. My problem with it is that when woke gets used as a pejorative, it's not making that distinction. It's blanketing everyone. So people who are pointing out that woke is bad are not making that distinction that you are. If that's the distinction that people are making, then I would agree with it, and I have no problem with that sentiment. But people calling me woke because I think that white privilege is a thing is kind of laughable, right? Like, but that's what happens. People call me woke for that kind of idea.
Well, and I could make the same argument that that's only the extremes
of people that call me that.
And the majority of people wouldn't. And in fact, we talked about that earlier, that a majority of people wouldn't. In fact, like, we pretty well opened with that, yeah, that the majority of people wouldn't call you woke.
Correct.
So
my point is that, so if we're going to talk about the extremes, then we have to focus on both extremes. Like, we can't, under the extreme definition, I'm woke.
There's something wrong with your logic there. We're talking about woke and wokeness, right?
Mm-hmm.
The extremes on the right simply aren't woke.
No, they're not.
No. So why are we talking about them?
Because they're the ones that are using the term pejoratively.
But as you just discounted my use of wokeness because it only refers to extremes, I can just as easily eliminate your same argument, you know?
Absolutely. My argument was a counter to your argument of the extremes. If we're going to take the extremes, then we have to take the extremes, the people that are using the term and define and creating the new definition is largely the people using it pejoratively.
No, it was the people who started using it. Well, we just said it was the people that did BLM.
It moved it to the next. Right. They moved it to the next phase, but that idea of wokeness that came out of BLM is still different than what it is today. That pejorative that it's used as, and again, that sanctimonious, that high, like that's called out of the, that's called out by the extreme right of people on the extreme left.
Okay.
Right. That's my point. Like it's come to be defined by the extreme.
Yes, but they're calling each other that for the most part. Like okay. they're in a battle with one another.
But there is the side of that where the whole point, the backlash that has come from the right is a backlash to the division that calling yourself and others woke creates, and calling some other people not woke, right? Like, so if I was someone on the extreme left, if I was a Maxine Waters type using the term wokeness, and I started saying, you know, not only am I going to call people out for being woke, but I'm going to say, now that person needs to get woke. They don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And I might call people on the right out, right? And that leads to the whole idea of things like, which we'll get into it and stuff like that. And these are problematic issues that come out of wokeness. The response to that comes from the right. The right is calling out people not just on the extreme left, but they are now using it to buttress against any social justice progress. And so they're turning it into this big pejorative, not just to call out people who have become sanctimonious and preachy for in calling themselves woke, but actually trying to undermine the principle of woke. Just as bad as the sanctimonious people are for, you know, changing and looking down and creating division through the term of wokeness, the other extreme is doing just the same thing when they pejoratively call people woke as a way to ridicule them and to try to say, you know, when people call me woke, it doesn't bother me because whatever, like it's someone trying, it's like when someone calls me a libtard, like it's the stupidest thing in the world, right? Like, you know, you're calling me out for my opinions and you're saying I'm a bad person because of my opinions, right? And I just like that's just mean-spirited, and it's an attempt to stoke its own division, to create its own divisiveness, to create its own problems, and to stop progress, right? So if we are going to say that being woke and wokeness is defined by the people who are themselves identifying or being identified as woke, we also have to consider that part of the people that are using the term and calling people woke are doing so disingenuously. They're doing so pejoratively.
Okay, well, if you want me to work in that framework, then I will. I'm not sure that I fully agree or fully disagree, but really it doesn't matter. I'll just work in the framework. So all this is only underlining my point more that wokeness has become its own beast separate from what it initially started out as.
I'm not disagreeing with that fact, by the way. I'm not saying that it's wrong.
Which means that it can be a bad thing. It no longer represents, you know, knowledge and action and worrying about the future and caring. Rather, it has become its own signifier. There is a segment of the... If we're going to say that people on the extreme right, or anyone really, is calling people on the left woke when they're not woke, then we have to deduce that wokeness is a specific segment of the left and isn't simply those four core components, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, if the behaviors occurring within that segment of wokeness are so problematic that they're creating increased derision for the people who don't fall into that segment but still fall on the left, that they're moving the ball further away from those goals of dissolving power structures simply by generating acrimony, then wokeness is no longer, the purpose of wokeness is no longer to be knowledgeable about those systems, and it's no longer to act on that knowledge or to care about your community or to care about the future. It is to emote. It is to cause chaos. It is without direction. It is structureless. Wokeness ceases to be civil rights advocacy, social justice advocacy. And it's because its practice, now here's where we could get into socialism, the way it practices moves it away from all those things.
Right, which is what we said at, was what we were getting at earlier. I do think that's a good place to stop.
I do too.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed our first episode in this new format. And here's the fun part. We want to hear from you guys. So this week, as we mentioned earlier, we're going to be continuing this discussion across social audio, right? Tomorrow, I'll be on the Stereo app at 12 Eastern discussing wokeness. On Wednesday, Clubhouse, 5 p.m. Josh and I will definitely both be at the Spotify live show Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then I'll be doing my Wisdom app live feed on Fridays at 3. And then we will be back in this feed on Saturday with a recap of this week's conversation. And if you bring the fire during our social audio appearances, you might just get featured on the podcast. What we need you guys to do now is rate and review this podcast wherever you are listening to it. It helps people find us and it helps keep the conversation going. And we also want to keep this conversation going. You guys, please share this everywhere, social media. Please subscribe. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. You can email us at sean@twistedlogicpod.com or josh@twistedlogicpod.com. And please check out our website at thetwistedlogicpod.com. Josh, this has been a great first episode, and I will see you Spotify Live on Thursday night.
Excellent. You certainly shall. Right. No one else will see me because we're on radio, but you'll see me.
That's right.